chapter 1. Starting next week, we will be changing up our Sunday school classes just a little bit. Jay finished up this past week in the book of Nehemiah. Finished up in the book of Nehemiah. Are we good? Awesome. Great. Finished up there, and we'll be starting 1st and 2nd Timothy next week. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Mr. Jim Bauman will be teaching that in this room here. So that'll probably take, he says 6 weeks. I feel like it might be closer to 8. All right. So, I mean, that's just how things go. There's so much in there, brother. So much in there. All right. Luke chapter 1. It is good to be in church this morning. I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of things just connecting. You know, you got the little kids singing at the beginning. That's a blessing. You got the adult choir singing. Tremendous song. New name written down in glory. That's mine. That's great. It's Mother's Day, to which moms all want the same thing. Just an afternoon of peace, right? If we're going to get real with Mother's Day requests, so children, Lord willing, are on their best behavior already. So there's a sense of peace this morning, maybe a little bit more. It's getting warmer out, springtime. We're in church on a Sunday morning. Man, there's a lot of good things going on. Maybe this afternoon you're going to go out and grab some brunch. How many of you do brunch? Anybody do brunch? All right, good. And maybe have a special lunch. This morning I'd like to look at the life of Mary. And I know it's not Christmas time, but we can read Luke chapter 1 and 2 on non-Christmas days. So we'll look at Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse 28. We'll pray and then see what the Lord has for us through His Word. Luke 1, 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for, God, again, just what you do with us, around us. God, thank you that our names have been written down for all eternity in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, I look forward to the day when I can see you face to face. God, until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. God, help us to be... Lord, help us to just depend on you in every area of our life. God, as we look at the words of Mary this morning, Lord, help us and encourage us. God, thank you for my mom, the influence she had in my life. Lord, I do ask again that you'd bless service here today. And Lord, I just don't want to mess up anything in your spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts in spite of me. God, again, that you'd be honored and glorified with your word here today. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God gives Mary some pretty highly esteemed words. He says this, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." She was favored not only in men's eyes, maybe necessarily, or ladies' eyes, but in God's eyes. He says this, God says, "The Lord is with thee." Now, we know who this is. This is Mary. This is Mary and Joseph Mary. We read a lot of Marys in our New Testament. But this is the Mary. This is the birth mother of Christ. And he says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou." Not only has she favor with God, blessed art thou among women. Now, of course, we know that she is esteemed among women and favored with God. What a great testimony. A few weeks ago, we looked at the life of Joseph, and he had a good testimony no matter where he went, even in the most adverse of circumstances. Mary, God noticed her life. Now, God is aware of all of us. He knows where we're at. He knows what's going on. But he noticed her life, and he says, "The Lord is with thee. Thou art highly favored." That's pretty high esteem, if you ask me. And among ladies, blessed art thou among women. Now, we do have to be careful. We do not worship Mary. Mary is just a lady like I was going to say like you and I, but not really. She's a lady like half of you. But she was blessed. The Lord saw something in her. Now, we don't want to take anything away from her, but we don't want to exalt her. She's not God. Nor will she ever be. And we'll look at that a little bit. You know, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the woman Mary." No, the man Christ Jesus. There's one connection between man and the Father, and that's Christ. We don't need Mary. We don't pray to Mary. We don't say any of that. But we can, let's be careful not to just look past Mary lest we miss something. Because she was highly favored and blessed among women. She was blessed. So we can look at her as an example. Now, she shows up multiple times in her scriptures. And we're going to look at each time that she speaks. What did Mary say? What is it that Mary had to say? And I think we'll learn quite a few things from it. So let's continue in the passage. Let's go down to verse 30. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. The words of Mary. If you're taking notes, the words of Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, it says this. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." What an announcement. Listen, Mary, this is who you're going to give birth to. This is who you're going to carry in your body. You are going to carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Messiah is coming through you. This was a divine announcement. God sent an angel to bring her this message. It wasn't like she just had this feeling or a vision. Somebody showed up and said, "Mary, don't be afraid. Here's what's happening." Wow, quite the thing. To which she then responds. Look at verse 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Her very first words. She asked a question. He says, "Hey, you're gonna have a child." She's like, physically that's not possible. She asked a question. She says, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" In verse 37, we have the answer. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible. If we look at, hold your hand in Luke chapter 1, look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. In verse 24. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." See, Mary got that announcement way back in Luke chapter 1. Way back before Christ ever touched foot on this ground. Long before that, she was given the announcement, "With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible." God does the impossible. What can God do that no man can do? Well, look at, here, I'll read to you Psalm 150. It says this, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts." You have to pay attention when the attributes of God are given, or his name. Anytime you see the word Almighty show up with God, pay attention. Why? Because he's about to do something in that passage that no man can do. When we see that Christ or the Father is called the Almighty, he's about to step out and break natural laws. We call those miracles. Here, in Luke chapter 1, what do we see? We see him doing mighty acts. She asked the question, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And we ask ourselves the same question. Not that we're having the Messiah. But sometimes God comes to us and says, here's some things that I'd like to see happen in your life. And you say, how can those things be? And what he wants us to do is to recognize with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Not a single thing. He is able to part seas. You know what that means? That means he's able to take water and make it stand up. What do you know about water? Water always seeks its own level. Is that correct? If you put water in something and you tip the container, the water doesn't look like this in there. It goes like this, right? Always seeks its own level. Water does not stand up on end. God is able to do that. Make water, make a wall of water and people to walk through on dry ground. God is able to use the sounds of trumpets and men's voices to break down walls. God is able to take a little boy with a sling and a stone and defeat giants. God is able to make fire rain down from heaven when he wants. And God is able to make virgins conceive. God can do mighty things. What can't God do in my life? There is nothing impossible. Christ goes on to make blind men see, deaf to hear, lame to walk, men to walk on water. Nothing is impossible with God. How shall this thing be? How can't God? What can't God do? What can't God do in your life? There's no circumstance he can't make right. Because he can do all these things. Yes, he can make the blind man to see. He can make the deaf man hear. He can make the lame man walk. He can make men walk on water. I don't care how fast you are, you can't walk on the pond. Now, sometimes we get a real thick thing, an algae, it feels like you can. But you can't walk on water. He is able to save those that are lost. He takes the drunk's life and turns it around and gives them hope. He takes someone that's drinking themselves to death, poison in their body, and gives them days. He's able to make a thief a missionary. He's able to take a fighter and make him a preacher. And he's able to take the faithless and make them faithful. God can do mighty things. And Mary saw that firsthand. She asked the question, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Wasn't that an obvious question? Hey, you're going to start a church in Paris. Lord, how's that going to be? Because I live here. Oh, just wait. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Hey, what's in your life that God is saying, here's what I'm going to do, and you're looking at him going, that just doesn't make sense on paper. And then to which he responds, thankful for verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you know that he knows no natural bounds? He knows no limits that he can't exceed because he is limitless. Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. Romans 4:19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. When he was about 100 years old, this is talking about Abraham, 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Mary got a promise. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. God is able to make that happen. The promises of God are always true. They never break down. And that's what Mary had. The promise of God. How shall this thing be? That was her first comment. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. in verse 38. Our first words of Mary, how shall this be? Have you ever asked God, what's He doing? Hey God, what? You know, I felt like we had a plan, God, and You kind of deviated course there, right? Making me feel a little uncomfortable. I had my life all planned out, and then you came by. And You changed it all up. Well, that's exactly what happened to Mary. She had a plan. She was getting married. Mary was getting married. You see that? To Joseph. They had a life planned out. They're going to get a nice little bungalow in downtown Jerusalem. I don't know. He's a carpenter, good job, could take care of the family, have a couple kids, maybe a lamb. And there they were. And all of a sudden, God comes by and changes all their plans up. Hey, ever have God come by and change up all your plans? How do you respond? In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, it says this, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Look at what she says. "Be it unto me according to thy word." You know what she said right there? "I submit to it all. God, whatever You have planned for me, I'll do. I will do Your will. Be it unto me according to thy word." What would this have meant for Mary? What was she going to give up that day? Do you understand what she was about to step into? A life of ridicule? Nobody understands here we are, we have the full account of it. And still, for us, it's tough to understand having a child, never known a man. How is that physically possible? Well, God, all things are possible. Okay, that answers that, but I still have questions. How about her friends? A lot of times, Mom, the call of parenting is quite the sacrifice. Read a story. A teacher was trying to teach the class about fractions. I like math, so fractions make sense. But the teacher asked the boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? The boy replied, "A sixth." She says, "I'm afraid you don't know your fractions," said the teacher. "Remember, there are 7 of you." "Yes, teacher," said the boy. "But you don't know my mother. Mother would say she didn't want any pie." How many times? You know, growing up, you don't see it until you're a parent. And then all of a sudden you see it. And you look back, and I was just kind of reminiscing, I was looking back, and just, you know, when I came to this point, I just spent some time thinking about my mom. And man, I remember we had a 1987 Chevy Spectrum. Why are you laughing, brother? Not much. I think the car was probably about this wide. I mean, long. That's from nose to it was the 2-door one. Yeah. I think it had 3 cylinders. It was gold. It was pretty. I looked at a picture. I sent it to my sister last night. I'm like, "Hey, remember this? The sacrifices my mom made so we could do." Mary says this, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Hey, when you sign up as a mom, there's going to be some demands upon you. And a lot of times that's sacrifice. You don't get to always do what you want. Days like today, maybe. You got to pick out dinner. Maybe this afternoon you'll get to... Maybe yesterday you got to go buy a new dress or something like that. But can I say, unfortunately, on the most part, those are few and far between. Children expect you to go without. And you many times do it willingly. To which, as a son, can I say thank you? I know the kids don't understand it today. And a lot of times they don't fully comprehend all that you go without. But thanks. Mary made a decision that day. She said, I'd be willing to give up my will for the will of God. Those are some good words to live by. Those are words that we should look at in our life. And when God comes by our way and says, hey, I got something for you. And you say, well, that doesn't fit into my plan. But be according to thy word with me. God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm good with. That's what Mary said. Be it unto me according to thy word. She was willing. As we turn the page and look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. First, we saw, how shall this be? Number 2, be it according to thy word. Number 3, look at these words. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Look at this. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Hey, that tells me something there. Mary needed a Savior. That would be Jesus. But look at those words. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Just last week, or a couple weeks ago now, we did quite a detailed study about this body, soul, and spirit in our young adults Bible study. And Mr. Seth put a lot of time into that. And what is the soul? Well, the soul is who you are. It is your mind, will, and emotions. And what does she say? Now, I'm not changing the word of God, but what substitute in? My mind, will, and emotions doth magnify the Lord. So I have to look at my life. If that's what Mary announced, my soul doth magnify the Lord, I have to ask myself the question, does my mind, does my will, does your mind, does your will, does your emotion magnify the Lord? Is there worship going on in all of those areas? Or is your mind a haven of sin? Is your will selfish? Are your emotions self-centered? Or do they worship Christ? My soul doth magnify the Lord. There's a big difference between a life in which the soul magnifies God and the soul magnifies man. It'll take you in two polar opposite directions. You cannot magnify God and magnify man. You can't do both. Mary said at the very beginning, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She went on to say some very sweet words. She talks about God's mercy. She talks about His strength. She talks about His might. When it states in the first chapter that she was favored with God, hey, she knew Him. There was a real relationship between God and Mary. And that came out. We see it all the way at the end of her life. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, she's with the disciples praying. It wasn't just something in Luke chapter 1. Oh, better step up my game. About to have the Messiah. Better start this praying thing, magnifying God. No, this is who she was. Do you understand? No matter the circumstances in our life, it just gets magnified. It gets just brought out. No matter where you're at. Whether you're away at college or you're on a business trip, who you are gets magnified. It gets brought out. And who Mary was brought out. Multiple times over, she testifies of her worship. She testifies of His mercy. She testifies of His great things. She testifies of His strength. How is that? Because she knows those things. Whether she's here or there or over there, it doesn't matter. It's who her soul was. It was her. It was her will, or it was her emotion. It was her mind. No matter where she went. And yet, So many times we, well, here I'll act like this, and here I'll be this, and over there I'll be that, and then over here. And we have this almost split personality. She said, my soul magnifies God. Our soul ought to magnify God. All that I am worships Christ. As we continue reading, go over to Luke chapter 2. First of all, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Number 2, be it unto me according to thy word. Number 3, my soul doth magnify God. Number 4, in Luke chapter 2, in verse 48, Jesus has been born. He's a young man, in verse 42, it tells us that he was 12 years of age. And there they were on a trip heading up to Jerusalem. And they lost Christ. Well, they didn't lose him, they just misplaced him. Ever misplace Christ in your life? Ever lose track of what is important? How'd you feel? What'd you experience when you weren't where you should have been? What was it like when you were around or not around who you should have been? What was going on inside your heart when you lost track of Christ in your life? Mary describes it well. In verse 48, it says this. Luke 2:48 says this. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, look at what she says now. Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Hey, the only right answer to when we lose track of Christ is to go look for him. Hey, if you lost track of Christ in your life, that maybe the ways of old have kind of gone by the wayside, if you will, that maybe he doesn't have as much priority. You're not with him. He's not with you. The only response is that you seek for him, and I'm telling you, your heart will be sorrowing. Every moment away from Christ is a sorrowful moment. Yes, we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord even in sorrow. There's no limits to our seeking the Lord. I'm going to read you a couple verses. I'll read 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually, it says. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I want you to look at Psalm 63. Go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. We're looking at some words from Mary this morning, helping our moms out, maybe. Looking at the reality of who she was. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Now, I don't know. I don't know if your psalm is the same as mine. Verse 1 starts, O God, thou art my God. Do you see that? Big O, right? Probably. Do you see some words between Psalm 63 and the very start of verse 1? Is there some words written there? Yes. Okay. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So we have, does everybody have that? If you don't, that's what mine says. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So we get context of why he's writing this. Wilderness is usually ascribed to something of lacking, not a lot of trees, not a lot of fruit, usually it it parallels maybe a spot in our life where we're just down. Maybe sorrowful. Remember, Mary sought for him with sorrow in her heart. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul, look at what he says. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David says, even though he was in the wilderness, yet he sought for the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances in our life, we ought to always seek for God. Hey, if you've lost track of Christ, if you no longer know what God is leading you to do or directing your life, maybe there was a time in your life, man, you were dialed in. You were all about it. Maybe you came back from a teen camp, or maybe there was a missions conference or something, and you just got real with God and you were just honest with Him, and you were speaking to Him and He was speaking to you, and then the cares of this life snuck in and pulled you away again, and there's separation between you and Christ. I guarantee every moment away is sorrowful because you lost the most valuable thing. Your relationship with the Lord. And that's what Mary tells us. Mary went away, lost track of her son. And she said this, I have sought thee sorrowing. Lastly, look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 1. He's older now, 30 years of age. We fast forward at 18 years. He's been baptized, and he's about to do his first miracle, Christ. The family's at a wedding. John chapter 2 and verse 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother, look at what she says now. This is our last phrase. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That was good instruction from mom. Ever get good instruction from mom and you didn't realize it till later on? As a parent, now I recognize it. Mom used to constantly... if my mom was a man, she would have been a preacher. I'm telling you. Because she preached a lot to me. At me. And she gave me instructions all the time. And as a kid, you don't realize it, and then that stuff gets so ingrained in you, and then you have a parent, and then you have your own child, and all of a sudden those thoughts start coming out. Things that you promised that you and yourself would, I would never tell my children that. And then you see yourself saying those things. Abraham Lincoln was well known for his total abstinence from alcohol. According to one well-known story, he was once offered a drink by a colonel in the military. Lincoln responded by telling the man that when his mother was on her deathbed, she had summoned him as a 9-year-old boy and asked for his promise that he would never take a drink. See, at 9, he didn't get that. He just made the promise. He said, I promised my mother that I would never, that I never would, and up to this hour, I've kept this promise. Would you advise me to break that promise? He asked the colonel. The colonel was offering him alcohol. Do you think I should break the promise that I made my mom? The colonel replied, no, Mr. Lincoln, I wouldn't have you do it. for the world. It was one of the best promises you ever made. I would give $1,000 today if I had made my mother a promise like that and kept it as you have done. See, sometimes we make promises or we're given instruction, we don't know the value of it until later on. Here's a good word from Mary. Whatsoever God tells you to do, do it. We try and teach our young people that. 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Hey, listen to God when He's leading you. Our teenagers, we send them away to camp for a week. Get them on, we think, oh, this is great. Freedom for not having to deal with teenagers for a week. This is awesome. No, we send them to camp not to get them out of the house, but to be separated from the world for a week. Hear a ton of preaching that God would get a hold of their hearts. That's the purpose of camp. And they play some games in there too. And our young people get this thought or idea, hey, whatever God says, I'm going to do it. And they come down and they surrender at an altar. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age. God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it. 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. And we're like, man, that's great. Good idea. Good decisions, right? Who would tell a 12-year-old that comes forward and says, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. And they try with all their heart. And then they sit in front of a professor that cares not about the things of God. Then they surround themselves with friends that could care less about the Word of God. And they no longer are making that promise anymore. But who in their right mind would say, would you exchange the promises of God for this sin? No one in their right mind. So whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. God uses our parents to help us hear the voice of God. Hudson doesn't know the voice of God. Sophie doesn't know the voice of God. Sure, she has a tender heart towards the things of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you want a prayer request or someone to pray for something diligently, give it to Sophie. She'll pray. She is a prayer. But in our life, but in my life, do I have this complete and total obedience to the Lord? Hey, understand that the role of a mother is a vital one. In Ephesians chapter 5, it describes her as a support to the father and husband. And you know what that is? She just takes the thoughts of dad and passes them on to the children. You know what Mary's doing? She's taking the thoughts of God and just passing it along. Hey, whatever He says, do it. Is there a better instruction that a parent can give? Hey, whatever God says in your life, do it. No, Mom, you stick with it. I know it gets disheartening sometimes when you say it and it feels like you're just talking to the wall. I remember years ago, I was at my aunt's house and she was telling she was telling me about her, that was her daughter, so it would be my cousin. She's like, Nick, it feels like I talk to my daughter like this. Just talking to the wall. And sometimes as parents, we feel like that. Is anything getting in? Here, I'm 41 years of age. I'm telling you, the things that my mom taught me got in. Not when I was 15, 16, 17. But now. So stick with it, Mom. Hey, keep pointing them to Christ. Keep saying those things that you said 100 times over. Yes, there. How many times do I... You just keep saying it, right? Have you asked yourself, Moms, how many times do I have to tell you? There's no number, Mrs. Sutliff. A bajillion times. But whatsoever He saith, do it. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Where would we be without the love and tender touch of our moms? In this passage, she gives the best advice someone could give. Do what God says. We'll look at one last verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The preacher says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hey, what's the concluding thought here? Fear God and keep his commandments. Whatever he says, do. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love others, right? This is Matthew chapter 22. There's no greater instruction that a mother could give a child. There's no greater instruction that Mary could give even to us than whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let's all stand. Some encouraging words, helpful words, honest words from Mary this morning. I'm going to ask you some questions. You believe God can do the impossible? Have you approached the Lord with doubts, questions? Lord, I just don't know what you're doing here. There's no possible way. Oh, you can't tell God that. There is a possible way. Have you surrendered your will to Him? Be it according to me, to thy word. My soul doth magnify God. I have sought thee sorrowing. Did you lose track of Christ? Have you wandered from where you guys used to be? How about this? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Say, I made that decision when I was young. And now I'm not so young. Maybe this morning you just want to come back and remind the Lord and wholeheartedly, honestly, say, God, whatever you say to me, I want to do. I want to be led and guided by you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation now. Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, whatever it is that you spoke to our hearts about, that God, you'd be honored and glorified. Lord, get a hold of us this morning, that you'd be pleased. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you want to come forward and pray with your mom. Maybe you just want to thank the Lord for your mom. Maybe your mom's not here anymore. Maybe you want to come talk to the Lord. And God, I know there's some of those words touch my heart. Sometimes I have doubts. I don't believe you can do the impossible. Lord, would you show me that you can?